Music is central to our well-being. If you're listening here, chances are you feel the same. The Classical Post podcast uncovers the creativity that exists behind great music. We believe music is interconnected with other art forms and life experiences. It doesn't exist in a vacuum, but is often influenced by other sources. No matter who you are, cultivating your creativity is fundamental to being better in business and living a more holistic life. Discover more on this podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Eifert. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you find something valuable in this episode. Few classical musicians have an IMDb page as extensive as composer-pianist Volker Bertelmann. In addition to the experimental piano music he composes and performs under the moniker Hauschka, Bertelmann is one of the most prolific film composers at work today. Over the past 15 years, he's scored nearly 60 films and television shows, including titles featuring megawatt stars like Nicole Kidman and Benedict Cumberbatch. But even with those credits, Bertelmann knew it would be difficult composing the score for Netflix's new World War I epic, All Quiet on the Western Front. He would need to establish a musical atmosphere that could take viewers from the optimistic enthusiasm felt at the start of the war to the bleak despair experienced by millions of soldiers trapped in trenches on the front lines. So Bertelmann was up for the challenge, because earlier this year, he won the BAFTA Film Award for his score to All Quiet, and just last month, he took home an Oscar for Best Original Score. In this episode, recorded before his trophy wins, we talk more about the development of his award-winning score and the ways modern dance and architecture inspire his creativity. Plus, Bertelmann shares the facial toner he can't live without and his favorite Manhattan restaurant for, interestingly enough, Shaker-inspired early American cuisine.
My name is Volker Bertelmann. I'm also known as Hauschka, but for film music, I mostly, use my normal name, Volker Bertelmann.
In terms of aesthetics outside of music, where do you find inspiration to create music?
When I walk in the woods, I mean, I'm going a lot of times in the forest, or I'm going outside. I wander around and I run. I do runnings, but I would say mostly when I'm in nature, I have a lot of quietness, and at the same time I'm moving. So I love that, and that gives me a lot of headspace to create.
In terms of other fields of study, in the creative industries, shall we say, art, design, architecture, fashion, film, dance, do any of those fields particularly inspire you and that you kind of draw on as you're creating?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I'm very inspired by dance, modern dance. I'm going regularly to dance performances, but I'm also, composing music for dance. So in a way, there is a very quite a lap over in terms of creativity or creative energy. I love actually architecture, but I would say the closest, because I'm from Düsseldorf, and in Düsseldorf there's we have a very big art scene, specifically, extremely well known photographers and painters and sculptures. So I'm a lot of times I'm going to exhibitions, when there are openings, we have a lot of every 3 months there are openings, like gallery openings, and I'm going to them, and I'm very excited about seeing performers switching between, or artists switching between abstraction, and real, painting of, real sceneries, the change between those two is for me very interesting, because I can also draw some ideas out of that for my own music.
Describe a routine you have in place that helps you live a healthier life.
Well, I would say a whole day is for me a routine that is gives me a healthier life, because I'm mostly, when I'm not traveling, and even if I'm traveling, I try to establish a very straight rhythm to my life, because I'm very used to have a clear breakfast, a clear lunch, and a clear dinner. And in between, I'm not eating much, and I'm also eating not like heavy portions. I'm rather a person that has very light portions, and I'm drinking a lot, which I think is very good, and in between I'm moving, while I'm working, intensively for like 1 or 2 hours. A lot of times my mind is then overwhelmed, or I feel like I need some space. And then I'm starting to go outside or change, the let's say the job in a way. Even when I'm working on two different projects, I'm changing the subject, and then I'm going back into it. And I would say I'm regularly sleeping 8 hours. So this is my routine for staying healthy. At least as I try.
It's good. It sounds like you have things figured out.
Yes. Well, I'm trying,
In terms of energy, so not the routine so much, but energy, what energizes you to keep going, to keep creating? So it could be drawing on a healthy routine or some sort of wellness practice, but it could be something else.
Well, I mean, mostly what drives me is my fantasy. I mean, my inner drive is always like, I want to do something. I'm a person that is not like sitting in a sofa for ages. And, I get pretty much bored when I'm doing nothing for a long time. I think doing nothing is obviously can be relaxing, but it can be also, at some point dragging you to kind of certain, like an energy level that is not healthy. So what I'm doing is I'm mostly, working on something. And if, let's say, if I have no creative energy or no creative thing to do, I'm going and work with my hands. I'm crafting, I'm chopping wood, or I'm doing things that are physically helping me to do something without thinking. And of course, piano playing is as well, playing for myself for like 1 or 2 hours, which I just did before we talked. I was just sitting at the piano and I just floated. And then you are in it's a little bit like a meditation. I recently read an article about that, to be disconnected from your thoughts and just, getting into this kind of feeling of floating is a very important thing to be calm and stay healthy. And so I'm doing that a lot, even in my job, because I'm meditating while I'm working,
What is one specific product you highly recommend?
I would say it's the face water from Dr. Hauschka. That's the one that I really love. It's like a face tonic that you just spray in your face, and it's extremely refreshing. And I love it.
What restaurant or bar do you love to eat at when you're in New York City?
I was recently in a place that was just in Manhattan, which was really, really nice. I have to look it up. It is a really good restaurant, and let me have a quick look. Before I'm telling lies. Let me have a look. And I think it just opened. It's called the Commerce Inn.
Mm. Nice.
And it's a kind of shaker inspired early American cookery. It's really, really good. I was, you know, I was really happy about it. It's, you know, of course, there are plenty of wonderful Japanese restaurants and other places, but this one was really, you know, like solid, and you felt like you felt good afterwards.
Oh, I love that. Do you remember what part of town it was? What part of the city?
Yeah, I can tell you right away. It's a West Village.
Oh, it is in West Village. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's in West Village, yeah. And it's called the Commerce Inn.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, no, I love going to West Village. There's lots of great spots there.
Let's take a quick break. Did you know Classical Post is a brand built for your pleasure by Gold Sound Media, a New York creative studio developing content for music lovers around the United States? We're always looking for new opportunities to partner with music presenters, artists, and record labels. If you're interested in content to build your community, please get in touch. Head to goldsoundmedia.com. Now, back to the show.
Tell us about the newly released Netflix film, All Quiet on the Western Front, where you recorded the soundtrack album. So I want to hear all about this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, the film came to me when Edward Berger, the director, was a very good friend of mine. And we worked already on series and other projects beforehand. He came to me last year, I think in October, and he said, would you be interested in scoring All Quiet on the Western Front? But I have to tell you, want to have something that you've never done before. So I was, the pressure was on me, and I said, oh, I can do that. I'm, you know, I want to actually be challenged, because I think my life philosophy is a little bit that, you know, lifetime is therefore to grow, and you can only grow if you are challenged by something that you can invent, or you have to figure out, like, you know, like solution, you have to find solutions. Maybe the way that you normally walk or the path is blocked, so you have to find another way for your solution. So I'm a big fan of that, and that keeps you very flexible and, you know, I would say also quite inspired. And so when he asked me to do that, then he invited me to Berlin, and I watched the movie in a big cinema. And after that, we exchanged 5 or 6 sentences after that, and he just said, you know, I think you can do it. And then, you know, a few things, but it was a very short communication about the film. It was rather than we talked about other things. So I went home, and on my flight back, I was thinking, I want to work with an instrument from that time, you know, from the time of the First World War, because I had the feeling, if I go too modern with that score, it maybe feels a little bit, you know, not in the right place. But at the same time, I wanted to have it modern in a way that it's also a story of today, and not a, let's say, a story from 1917 only. So, and I remembered that I had an harmonium in my studio that I got from my grandmother, and it was standing a long time in their living room, and they were playing it when they were singing Bach chorals, you know. And so she was giving it to me a few years ago, and I refurbished it, and I was just sitting here in my studio, and I was just, you know, it was waiting for a purpose. So I sat down and I recorded a couple of things with it, and I put the sounds through an amplifier and distortion, and I just made it quite big. And so I sent that to Edward, and he was like, oh my God, this sounds like Led Zeppelin. I really love it. It's, you know, it's really like vast and it has a very like great energy. So, you know, and when you send something out and you are very convinced and you're happy with it, and the reaction is, oh no, it's, you know, can you go back and do something else? This actually is a circle that you really have to digest in a way when that is happening. But if somebody already loves what you do intuitively think is a good theme for the film, then this is catapulting you in a different dimension. So when he said, yes, I really love it and it's really strong, then I used that theme to develop mainly. There are two other themes in the film, but this motif is in a way then was transferred into violins, and I did a few like very fragile scenes with the same theme, but I developed it more and more. But for the, let's say, the space where we feel like danger is coming and there will be something nasty happening, then, you know, the harmonium in a way starts to, you know, to send these three notes into the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, you know, how it all has come about. And also, I think the fact that there wasn't a kind of backtracking a little bit with the story and the timeline, how there wasn't a lot of communication about entering into all of this. It's like almost when artists trust each other in a way, or that, you know, there's enough mutual respect or whatever you want to call it, that it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, you know, you do your thing because I respect your work, and I'm going to go do my thing because, you know, it's kind of cool how that works, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, that's something I would say naturally, that's the best thing, because normally when you get hired, and that's not only with music or with film, that's everywhere the same. If you get hired and people are trusting that you are the right person for the job, why are they discussing about things? I think then they hire an expert, and maybe the only thing you need is an explanation of, you know, what is needed. And then you're like, okay, thank you. I will go home and I will do my best, you know? So in a way, if that is happening, you are very, I mean, it's very satisfying, I have to say.
In terms of developing the project, I mean, in terms of, I don't know if you were involved in the any kind of the scenes, like development of the scenes / with the music or anything like that, or was it pretty much just completely separate?
Yeah, it was completely separate because if you see the film, such a complicated layout, because the director and the cameraman, they were actually hiding themselves in like a few months or 2 months in a hotel room and building these sets. So they had to find ways of where the camera goes into these trenches, and, you know, where they had to build like on a huge airfield. They built these kind of like battle scenes out of nothing. It was just a plain field, so you had to bring a lot of tractors and, you know, heavy gear to change the ground. I'm telling you that because I was now on a lot of Q&A's and I heard them talking about it. So I was actually coming already in the process when mainly the work, also the editing work, was already in a very good shape. And so, you know, but having that, when you see a film is functioning without music, that gives you a lot of different, like a different value, because then you are like, okay, if I'm dropping something into the film, it really needs a spot where we want to have it like very present and not like hiding. And I think Edward was always asking for that. He's always said to me, please let us make this time only music where we feel like it's, you know, we want to have it there, or use it also in a different way. For example, when you hear all the snares that are in the music that are really more like very asynchron explosions in a way, but they are still sounding military. It's a little bit more like a sound rather than, you know, a composition in the first place. But at the same time, it's very nice that it's so awkward and that it, in a way, becomes a character in the film.
I think, yeah, that's interesting. So this idea that basically the film is in pretty good edited shape, and then you're
kind of plugged in to bring it alive, almost that emotional state to be brought out when like the person watching should feel, you know, terror or heartbreak or, you know, joy or that sort of thing, right? Is that kind of the idea of you kind of being overlaid and then bringing out those emotions through the music?
Yeah, but you know, the important thing is that, and I don't know, when you look at films and if you're not used to look at films and analyze them in terms of the score, you maybe sometimes don't recognize it, but a lot of films are made with, you know, overpowering in a way the emotional state of mind, because they're doubling the emotional state of mind. So you have, let's say, a very warm and, you know, very well acted, let's say, love affair, or like where two people meet and they talk in a very intimate way. And then in the background, you hear the same emotion, which I think is not helping in a lot of ways, because in a lot of ways, it takes away from the acting. It feels like the, you know, there's a little bit of sometimes a mistrust in what the acting is like. And the music, of course, is easy to support or to pull or push you in certain directions and how you feel it. So what I try, and that's not always possible, I have to say. I did many films as well where I got asked to, in a way, double the feeling of, you know, of the scene. But I want to, in All Quiet, I think it was very nice to actually be a little bit more an own personality when there's space, you know, for, or it goes even against what we see, or there is a feeling. Let's say, for example, there's one scene in All Quiet where we see this light bulb going over the, you know, the battlefield, and you can see that, you know, it's at night. And so you see like all the destroyed ground, and you know, you definitely know you are in a very, very bad area of the world at that time. But at the same time, this light bulb looks a little bit like a, you know, like a very romantic light bulb. So the music, in a way, describes the journey of the light bulb. And at the same time, you see, in a way, the darkness in it. So you are, in a way, torn as a person when you watch that, because you're like, oh, I try to find beauty for something that I shouldn't find beautiful, you know? So, and for example, things like that are helping to support, in a way, the irritation of, you know, of war, in a way, because war is such a senseless thing, you know, specifically when young aged people are sent from older aged people that are mostly 60, 70, they have already lived their life. So they got sent by older people into their death. I mean, that's completely senseless. And so in a way, that was the approach in a lot of scenes.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear that. I am curious, your working experience with London Contemporary Orchestra and that whole process, what did that look like?
I mean, the in the beginning, when you start scoring or when you start writing, there's always you are free in a way to choose which orchestra you want to take. Of course, there's a question, is there enough budget to work with certain orchestras, or is there not enough budget? And in this case, I had the feeling that I want to work with the London Contemporary Orchestra, because they are very well known for their experimentation, and they are very confident with scores that are maybe a little bit awkward, or where you use techniques that are not like common in all, you know, all kind of, or in the normal classical repertoire. Not to say that all the London players are in a way very used to switch between contemporary music, modern classical music, and pop music, and you know they do all the things multiple times on a day, I would say, and so they are extremely good. And the London Contemporary Orchestra and Rob Ames, who is conducting, I had a long chat with him about it. And I felt it's exactly the right setting for this kind of score to work with them. And I mean, you know, when you hear it, we were actually a little bit spoiled by the corona situation. So I was not able to go to the recordings. I had to stay in my studio. But in our days, that's not anymore such a big thing, because it has also an advantage. There are advantages and disadvantages of being in your studio and listen to the score while it is recorded.
Yeah, indeed. One last question to wrap up here. What does success mean to you? It's personal for everyone, but I'm curious what it looks like for you.
Well, success for me means, the question implements two different perspectives. One is that I already know what success is outside, and I'm anticipating that as a success for me, or I'm looking at success as an inner success of myself. And I have the feeling I'm feeling successful when I'm moving onwards and when I'm learning, I have the feeling as a human being, I'm growing in terms of my, you know, my mistakes and my, and all, if my positive sides I can spend for the well-being of others, this is for me success. All the rest is, is very timely. And it can give you, of course, maybe some conditions where you can help even more. If you have time to, for example, help others, which also means you need to be in a good financial situation, I would say. But besides that, I think success is always for me inner growth.
Thanks for listening to the Classical Post podcast. I hope you have found it meaningful and that it gave you new ideas to cultivate your creativity to be better in business and life. So let's stay in touch. Remember to follow this podcast to get notified of new episodes and sign up for our monthly newsletter for album recommendations and editorial on leading artists. Just head to classicalpost.com/subscribe.